This really gives us cause to celebrate. For the first time, we're seeing the number of child deaths drop below 7 million worldwide, 6.9 million. In 1990, the number of children who were dying were 12 million. So it's almost half of that. In some countries, it is way below 50%. So this gives us real sense of hope that the goal to end preventable child deaths by 2035 can be achieved. But of course, it's unfinished business. It's not just about numbers, because we know that each one of those statistics represents a real child, and behind every one of those statistics is a grieving mother, a grieving father. We know that most of those deaths can be prevented. So we're on the right path and we're accelerating, but there's a lot more work to be done.
What do you attribute the reduction to? Which countries have done well? Which have the greatest challenges yet? And will they be met?
Well, the countries where we're seeing the most dramatic reduction are largely in Southeast Asia. We have Lao People's Republic, Timor-Leste, and then, of course, Cambodia, South Asia as well. We've seen some really positive results there, Nepal, Bhutan, and actually really some very hopeful results out of sub-Saharan Africa, which still remains the biggest challenge. We're seeing good results coming out of Rwanda, Madagascar, Malawi and Liberia, and even Senegal, that's also looking very encouraging.
What would you say are the leading causes of child deaths?
What we know is in countries where you've had very strong outreach on reduction of measles deaths, for instance, in sub-Saharan Africa, we've seen a 74% reduction of measles deaths. So that's really exciting. And we now have new vaccines for measles and rubella. And we've seen increase on insecticide-treated bed nets throughout sub-Saharan Africa, Southeast Asia, South Asia as well. So this is very encouraging. We have much greater rates of oral rehydration salts being used, ORS. It costs less than a couple of American cents. And sometimes it's simple things like a cell phone that can really become a life-saving tool, because messages can be sent out to parents, to families, to communities to tell them about exclusive breastfeeding from the minute the baby's born, washing hands with soap. Some of these very simple messages, it doesn't cost anything really to transmit these messages, and they're life-saving. Besides the measles deaths dropping down dramatically in sub-Saharan Africa, we're seeing very positive results on HIV and AIDS. This is the first generation now that we're seeing of babies born without the AIDS virus. So these are some of the milestones that we're reaching. And these triumphs are really something of a testament to this kind of collective action that we're seeing with governments, with communities, with families. And this is what we have to keep pushing.
Speaking of costs, we talked about the ORS being cheap. What will this cost?
The real cost, of course, is a cost to a nation's survival, and that is incalculable. Every lost child is a lost opportunity, and that's really something that is not thought about by economists. And the loss to productivity of an ill child, an ill mother, an ill family is profound. It's been worked out that, for instance, by increasing the rates of immunization with six vaccines over the next 10 years, it would save the lives of 6.4 million children and avert 426 million cases of illness and 6.2 billion cases in treatment. But the fundamental cost is, of course, to the nation's soul, a moral cost. And that's incalculable. For every lost child, you've got a potential Nobel Prize winner, a scientist, someone who can make an enormous difference in their lives, their families' lives, their communities' lives. So that's a different cost altogether.